Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Which Would You Rather, the show where we ask you, which would you rather? We give people a choice between two prizes and see what's more valuable to them. We've had a great show here today, but I have a feeling that this round will be even better. Before we get started, though, we are going to need a contestant. Let's look out at our live studio audience. Okay, let's go with him. We'll pick the big man in the back. Oh, yes. Good. Clearly, you watch us on TV.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to this day and all. I've shared everything I love in the car. Yeah, look forward to it. It's great.
Good. And where are you from?
Just down yonder and around the corner.
Okay, good. And are you excited to play? Well, we're going to pick a new contestant then. Okay, good. So, the rules of this game are simple. We are going to show you two prizes, and you choose... I got to stop this voice. And you choose which one you would rather.
I like the other voice.
You like the other one? Okay. And we're going to show you one prize. You pick the next one. I'm going to give you another prize, and then you have to pick between it and the other one. Now, here comes the twist. Every time we show you a prize, you have to give up the other prize before in order to get the better one. Got that?
Give up one to get the other.
That's right. Okay, then. So, let's get ready to play and say it with me. Which would you rather? Okay, Dan, we've got some great prizes for you here today. Here's your first choice. A popcorn kernel or a candy bar? Which would you rather?
Well, I'm not growing a popcorn tree in my yard, so I'm going to choose the chocolate bar.
All right, the chocolate bar. And why did you choose the chocolate bar?
Because the chocolate bar tastes way better than a popcorn kernel ever will. It's way more valuable to me right now.
Okay.
And before he finishes the sermon, I'll be pretty hungry.
Well, very good. It's more valuable than a popcorn kernel. Very good. Well, here is your second choice, Dan. Here's your second choice, a candy bar or a $10 bill. Which would you rather?
Well, if it was an American 10, I would definitely choose that. However, because I can buy more chocolate bars with a 10 than I can with one chocolate bar, I'm going with the $10.
All right, good choice, Dan. Now, you realize to get it, you have to give up the chocolate bar.
That's okay. I can give up one to buy a whole lot more with that $10. It's more valuable.
So, here is your third choice. A $10 bill or a brand new TV. Which would you rather?
I'm going to give up the $10, though, and go with the brand new TV. Because it's more valuable.
Good choice. Good choice.
I mean, bigger, too.
What's that?
It's way bigger.
It's way bigger, too. That's right.
$10.
And here is your fourth choice, Dan. Now, remember, you'll have to give one up to get the next thing. A roasted chicken or a brand new TV. Which would you rather?
I get TV because I can swap TV in for a lot of chickens. TV is more valuable. I'm taking the TV. Thank you, Graham.
Right. Okay. Can you go next? We'll play at home. We'll play this game. And I'll actually give you a chocolate bar. Yeah, sure. So you like valuable things? Well then, Dan, you're in luck because here is your next choice. A brand new TV or an all-expenses-paid trip to Hawaii. Which would you rather?
Hawaii!
Can I have an audience call out to my wife?
Sure, we've never done this on the show before, but yes, we'll make an exception for you.
Hawaii or TV? We're going to go with Hawaii.
Okay, all right.
This is the one that is more valuable. And my choosing her choice is more valuable.
Okay, final offer. But remember, if you take this offer, you'll give up the all-expenses-paid trip to Hawaii. Do you think you can handle that?
I think I could.
Are you ready for this?
I'm Yep, I am.
Okay. Final choice. Trip to Hawaii or eternal life? Which would you rather?
This whole game show is like one of those Jesus stories, the parable. It's like a parable. Yeah. Which one is that? That's the one where a guy goes and finds a treasure in a field, and he buries it, and then he goes away, and he sells everything he has in order to buy the field. Get the treasure. Or it's like that other one, too. There's like the Merchant of Pearls. And this merchant finds a valuable pearl or something that's really hot. Not really hot, because it would be stolen then. But he finds it. And he really wants it. And so he joyfully goes off, sells everything to get that pearl that he really wants, because he knows how valuable it is. He gave up everything to get something more valuable. In every case, these guys gave up something, everything, to get something more valuable. That's right, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. But which is it going to be, Dan? The all-expenses-paid trip to Hawaii or eternal life? Which would you rather?
Well, obviously it's going to be eternal life, because, well, everybody wants to be part of the kingdom of God. Let's be honest. It's a little more valuable than the temporary earthly things that we have.
Sorry, wife.
Didn't they have extra room in their head? I want eternal life. I want kingdom of God.
All right,
that's
then.
Far more valuable.
All right, then. Eternal life it is. This man has given up a candy bar, a new TV, a trip to Hawaii, a roast chicken, all to receive the kingdom of God.
And it's worth it.
Well, have we got a surprise twist for you, because the parable wants us to know that eternal life is worth giving everything up for. But the whole story is that Jesus still blesses us in this life. So you, sir, win a candy bar, but I forgot to bring you one. I owe you. Let's give it up for our contestant, our big hand for Dan. And see you next week on Which Would You Rather?
All right.
I wonder, boys and girls and congregation, if you can think of any ways or any things that people wear to make themselves look important. What do people wear to make themselves look important?
Sometimes like the suit that you wear yesterday for the wedding.
Yeah, like a suit. People wear a suit to make themselves look important. Yeah. Yeah? Anything else? People in the congregation?
Crown.
A crown? Yeah? Is that what Anna said too? Crown? Yeah. What do kings wear sometimes?
I was going to say a robe.
A robe?
Because that's what Jesus wears too.
Yeah, that's right.
I wanted to say it, but everyone else was saying
it. Oh, okay. A crown? A cape, maybe? A long train like that? Really fancy sunglasses? Really... what do you call those fascinators? well, I have decided that I will wear something that makes me look important. Are you ready to see it? Are you ready? What do you think? Do I look important?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good. I know it's a strain. Thank you, thank you. Call me here all night.
Wearing a dish
on
your head.
A dish? I'm wearing a colander on my head.
You kind of look like Crazy Dave from Zombies, but I like it.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben. That's really special. Would you like to look like Crazy Dave from Plants vs. Zombies right now? There you go. Okay. Well, you know what? I tried to look important, but I just ended up looking silly, right? That's what happened. I tried to look important, and I ended up looking silly. That reminds me. Can you sit down there for me, please? That reminds me of a parable that Jesus told one time. People who tried to make themselves look very important ended up looking silly. And the people who were humble, the people who were willing to say, you know what, I'm not the most important person in the world, those are the people that God honored and honors. So here's how the parable went. I need to get your help here to set up our parable. So I want you to pretend, yeah, I know that you will, and I look forward to having your help.
What are the spoons for?
What are the spoons for? The spoons are to help keep the balloons from going up into the sky and the ceiling and into the fan.
And then they'll pop.
And then they'll pop, yeah, that's right.
I'll hold one. Can I hold this one?
Can you hold this one? Well, you know what, I need you to go and take this back. And let's see, can you put this one back by Stephanie? Can you raise your hand, Stephanie? And you take it back to go there. No, let me just do this one at a time, always in case I lose. Well, listen, we're not keeping them. We're going to put these in.
Can I put them out? Can I have to be with them?
Oh, shoot.
At the end of the sermon, you'll be able to get them.
Yes.
Why do we need them?
Okay, so Ben, can you take this one out and put it beside Ever?
Can I take the pink one?
You want to move the pink one? Okay, let's see.
So,
pink one,
that's the biggest one. I think the pink one is the biggest one.
You think the pink one's the biggest one?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take that one and let's put it beside the music stand. This one. Okay, we'll do it one at a time. Can you take the red? And can you put it just beside mommy there?
Can I take the yellow one?
Can you put this one here? You just put that there. And then, Ben, can you put your balloon right here? Okay?
Where do I put this one?
Right there is good. Okay, so what I want you to do... Here, I need to use this one. This one is a person. Actually, these all represent people. Okay? And I want you to imagine that this is a really big table. Okay, so the edges of the pews are kind of like the table, and the balloons are people sitting at the table. And back in Jesus' time, often when there was a big fancy dinner, they would make a big U-shaped table. And so you would have the most important person here sitting at the head of the table. Do you do that at your house sometimes? The head of the table, the most important person sits there. So he would sit here, and then the next most important people would be to his left, but especially to his right. This is where the most important person of all, next to the host, would sit. So his wife. Jesus says, when someone invites you to a feast, don't take the place of honor. For a person more distinguished than you might come along. If so, the host who invited both of you will say, give this man your seat. So Jesus is picturing that you've come to this meal and you've decided, you know what, I'm a very important person. I am going to come and sit right up here in the most important seat in the whole house, and I'll sit right here. But then, what if a really, really important person comes to the party and they come up and the host says, oh, this person is more important than you. They're going to sit here. And so they take his spot. Let's put the red guy up there. Can you put the red one back into the most important spot?
Okay.
Not with the color. And he says, you take a place farther back. So tell me, how important do you think this guy is? Not you, Bert. He's sitting a long, long ways away from the host, isn't he? He's less important. Now, on the other hand, Jesus says, this is how the kingdom of God works. People who humble themselves before God, God lifts them up. And in the case that Jesus was telling, the host would look out and see this person who had humbled themselves, that came to the party and decided, well, I'm going to sit here. I'm not that important. You know, I'm here. I'm a valuable person, but I'm not going to make myself look fancy. The host would say, look, friend, you're more valuable than that. You deserve a spot with me up here front. And so then he would take that spot. It's a bit like when Jesus said, the first is last, and the last shall be first. When somebody tried to make themselves look fancy, they ended up being humbled. They looked kind of silly. But when they were humble, they were honored. And that's the way that God works, too. Really important people are people who don't try to make themselves look fancy and important. We trust in him and let others have the honor. And in doing that, God sees that we're humble and he gives us honor. You know, we might not have a special seat of honor at a table or a really comfy chair that we sit in when we watch our shows. If we are humble, then we'd be willing to let other people sit in that chair to watch a show, or we'd be willing to let a person sit in a certain spot to watch a show at the table. If we're humble, we'll let other people into line ahead of us, and we'll trust God, knowing that he is the one that will lift us up.
Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Here's how it went. In a certain town, there was a mean judge who didn't believe in God and didn't care about people.
Order, order. Do I have a line? Oh, yeah. I have an actual line. I'm a mean old, tough old, gruff old judge. You mess with me and I'll hold a grudge.
He's not a real popular guy. There was a widow in the same town who didn't have much money or power, and somebody had ripped her off. So she went to the judge and asked him to get justice done for her.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Your Excellency, but I need you to help me. I need you to bring some justice down for me.
That's a reasonable request to make of a judge. But the judge said,
I have more important things to do than worry about a little old widow like you.
So the widow went away, disappointed. But she couldn't let it rest. So pretty soon, she decided to try again.
I don't mean to pester you, Excellency, but if you won't help us, who will?
But the judge still didn't pay much attention.
Just go and take yourself on home and leave us superior folks alone. Go on now.
So the widow left, but she knew she was being done wrong, and she couldn't let it go. She wasn't really excited about dealing with that judge again, but she got up her courage anyway and marched back there.
Excellency, I will pound on that door till you help me.
This time the judge really blew up.
Read my lips and hear me shout. You're not going to change my mind. Get out.
But the widow didn't. We have no idea who started this. But the widow didn't back down.
You have not heard the last of me.
The very next day, the widow went back to see the judge and insisted that he help. Finally, the judge had had enough.
Although it makes me out of joint, I must admit you have a point. Your constant pleadings moved my heart. Here's what you asked right from the start.
So after Jesus told that story, he explained what it meant. He didn't want people to think that God was like the mean judge. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is this. If even a cranky, stubborn old judge will listen and respond to people's constant asking, then God, who loves us deeply, will definitely answer our prayers when we keep asking. Jesus told his disciples this parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. If a cranky old judge can be made to care, then our gracious God will answer our prayers.
Thanks, Jennifer. Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Diane. I love this parable because it tells us right off the bat what it means. Right? If you look in Luke 18, verse 1, it specifically says, Jesus told his disciples this parable so that they would, to show them that they should always pray and not give up. What's this parable about? You should always pray and not give up, because a God who is much kinder than this cranky old judge will listen and will respond. I know there's a lot of us in situations now that need to hear from God, and so I want to give us a reminder to keep praying, to not give up. And I thought, you know what? Here's an image of something that I think that will stick with you. And Anna and Ben, I'm going to need your help. Who's had a Tootsie Pop before? Remember the advertising for this? It's a sucker, but there's a chocolate Tootsie Roll thing in the middle. And the advertising was like, how many licks does it get to the center, take to get to the center of the... Tootsie Pop, stop, please. Here, I'll give you one, don't worry. I need you to give them out to everyone. Will one lick get to the center? Will two licks get to the center? Will 50 licks get to the center? But if you keep going, what'll happen? They'll get there. That's how it is with God. He will answer our prayers. So let's keep on praying. Can you? Jesus said, keep praying and never give up. And God, who loves us more than a cranky old judge, will answer our prayers. So let's take a few minutes to pray.